This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
Our next speaker is Jennifer Sanders. Jennifer has had a long and distinguished career as a curator, appointed to the Powerhouse in 1978 as a curator in decorative arts and design. She was a key member of the team later that decade in the development of the 1988 Powerhouse Museum. Appointed Assistant Director of Collections in 1988, Jennifer led the museum's curatorial, registration, preservation and outreach programs, and for several years, exhibitions, education, publications and library services as well. A busy job. A member of the National Cultural Heritage Committee from 1999 to 2008, Jennifer is currently a member of the Council of Museums Australia and the External Advisory Panel Design Research Institute at RMIT. Jennifer, thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Guy, and thank you to Philip and Eric and Marianne for covering a lot of ground and throwing up a lot of issues. Great cat, Philip, really fantastic. So my brain went into overdrive and meltdown when Guy asked me to reflect on 30-plus years. I've tried to distill it down to several themes, generalisations, you know, off the top of my head, but I hope it will start you thinking. At the outset, let me declare the two tenets that underpin my philosophy about museums. Firstly, a museum's collection defines its identity, gives it its character, and is the primary means by which it is of relevance to the community, by which it fulfills its purpose. Which leads me to the second, which I learnt from Steve Weil, a truly inspiring thinker about museums and their role in society. His powerfully simple tenet was that museums must fulfil a public purpose, not simply carry out a function. And so to the first theme, farewell the keepers. When I began as a museum assistant in 78, there were still positions called keepers of collections. The title was no longer in tune with increasing efforts by museums to open up their collections to the public, and it soon disappeared to be replaced by the title curator, a position that required at least a degree in a suitable discipline. However, the Oxford Dictionary definition of a curator as a custodian of a museum is still inadequate, when custodian itself is defined as guardian or keeper, or worse, overseer, warden or watchdog. The reality is that it's a fine line balancing custodial responsibilities with public access, or even perhaps with curator access, from what Philip said. There's always a tension between ensuring the preservation of the collection now and for future generations, while giving the present generation the opportunities to engage with the collection as fully as possible. But the term curator has gone beyond the Oxford and into contemporary parlance, with a twist. It seems it's code for, I have a discerning eye and great taste, and therefore I can make great selections for myself or as a service to others. So the forthcoming Vivid Festival in Sydney has a contemporary music, sound and light program for which Lou Reed and Laurie Anderson are the curators. There are fashion bloggers, disc jockeys, TV producers, designers, etc., who curate selections from their specialist field, both real and virtual, as a free and a paid service. Community curator is a new job out of Web 2, whose function is to organise online communities. And digital curators separate art from junk and package it in creative ways online. My personal view is that it's great to see the term appropriated and transmogrified beyond the museum world, as it shows both a respect and interest in what a curator does. Not that these non-museum roles share the responsibility of curating in a complete sense a permanent collection held in trust for the public. My quick reading of the contemporary usage is that it's focused on immediate ephemeral needs and experiences, both online and in person, with an emphasis on the process of selection in which personal taste and judgment are up front. You've got to admit, though, it's pretty neat to be in the company of Lou Reed and Laurie Anderson. My second theme, the age of managerialism. To be effective and efficient in achieving an organisation's purpose, tools such as corporate strategic, business, operational plans, accounting standards, auditing cycles, zero budgeting, risk management, staff performance reviews, etc., have important roles to play. However, the ever-present risk is that management processes dominated the expense of the museum's core business. that management is more visible than museum professionalism, that management processes slow down museum business. We must be accountable for the resources we expend, time and money, and for the use we make of the public's assets, the collection and the museum's infrastructure, but the museum must be focused on fulfilling public purpose, not carrying out management processes. Purpose, not process, to paraphrase Steve Weil. And then there is the tendency for the vapid terminologies of KPIs, products, outcomes, etc., to detune and flatten the distinctive and powerful definitions of arts, culture and heritage. My firm advice is to learn the language and principles of management so that you can operate and advocate from an empowered position for the museum. Be an active contributor to a well-managed organisation, but do it first and foremost as a museum professional. Take it over. Remember, and it might not be grammatically correct, management is a verb, not a noun. Theme 3. Collections are more than the sum of their parts, out of the silos, into the world. Late last year, I attended a symposium run by RMIT's Design Research Institute on transdisciplinary design. The aim was to consider how to encourage design thinking and research which transcends disciplines and links across the two cultures of the arts and sciences in order to foster deeper contributions to global problem solving, global warming, urban planning, sustainable land use, etc. And one of the keys to fostering transdisciplinary design is to encourage widely educated, knowledgeable, open minds, inquisitive about the world, about other cultures, about other disciplines, open to new ideas and generous in encouraging others' contributions. Just as academe is being exhorted to leave their silos, so museum curators and collections need to be unsiloed and working as a rich and rewarding resource, unconstrained by discipline typecasting, and contributing to broadening perspectives and deepening horizons. And I've been in silos. I remember when we first started planning the powerhouse and I was curator of costume, textiles, toys and jewellery, we got out the plans, we got out the coloured pencils and we coloured in our square meterage for the costumes, the textiles, the toys and the jewellery. Thank God none of that happened. To foster a shared sense of purpose for the collection, we developed at the powerhouse a collection development and research policy that embraced the entire scope of the collection, from trains to lace, cloisonné to cooker stoves, so that the same agreed aim and criteria were used to assess both the current collection and all new acquisitions and for deaccessioning. However, we all know that leaving the silos comes down to a willingness to share information, to work across the organisational and the functional charts, to engage in discussions and debate about big pictures, lifting one's eyes to far horizons and wide perspectives. And it's worth pursuing, for the cumulative knowledge and insights and the capacity to engage audiences in big stories and issues. Theme 4, tipping the iceberg. 3% on display, what about the other 97% of the collection? The strategic importance of this was made starkly clear to me when showing a Member of State Parliament the collection in the days when it was stacked up in less than ideal storage. I naively expected the usual wonder and enthusiasm at the diversity, rarity, quaintness, etc. of the objects in store, but his reaction was, "What have you got all this junk for?" And it's a question that's resonated in my mind throughout my career. After the powerhouse opened, there remained a mighty task to bring the collection to order. With only 3% on display, the rest of the collection needed to be located, assessed, deaccessioned if not required, documented and properly stored, so it could then be made publicly accessible, physically and online. The single policy, collection policy we'd organised, transmogrified into a single collection database that resulted with its unified, because of its unified terminology, laid the foundation for the powerhouse collection's virtual popularity and extraordinary facility as a Web 2 resource. Now, virtual access and interaction is a key measure of public relevance and a powerful complement to the public access that the museums achieved at the Powerhouse Discovery Centre at Castle Hill, which Christopher Snelling will talk about in more detail later. But suffice to say, we approached the Discovery Centre so it reflected the museum's statewide history and statewide role, and as a location for others to come to learn how a museum looks after its collection. Theme 5, curating in a digital world. Curators are scholars. They're knowledgeable experts in their fields. They bring the necessary rigour and judgment to the development, research, interpretation and communication of collections. Putting the collection online has opened it up to a much wider public, keen to be involved, keen to contribute to the facts, the figures, the narratives about objects in the collection. Web 2 has democratised the activity of curation, and there's been an exponential increase in the number of inquiries and web postings that curators need to respond to embrace and manage. Tricky, I know, but look at the world that's been opened up in terms of more information, connections and context. A second but different serious challenge to curating thrown up by the digital world is how to collect, research, document and indeed preserve the digital born, when so much is opaque and invisible, or worse, when visible, is bland and boring because it's computer generated. For Australia, for example, Australia has a distinguished industrial design history. The working papers, models, plans, sketches, etc. of past and present designers and design companies are an intrinsic component of our cultural heritage and an invaluable research resource. Regrettably, less and less of current design inspiration, thinking, processes and practices are visible or intelligible to the naked eye. Yet there's so much revealed and communicated in the sketches, writings, records, even napkin scribbles where the hand is evident. Personalities, characters, influences, dead ends, struggles and eureka moments are conveyed in these personal documents in a human way. They speak to you, they tell stories. Theme 6, telling stories, heartbeat and public good. Significant studies, the authored essay by a knowledgeable curator that puts the object in a local, state, national or international context, that describes and establishes the object's significance to our society, are a major development in establishing a collections database. It articulates the public purpose of a museum and it communicates cultural identity and contributes to a shared understanding of where we've come from, our heritage and history, enabling us to better imagine the future and connecting people to our culture. Peter Day, the BBC4 business journalist, coined the phrase heartbeat economy to describe the ability and desire of consumers to circumvent dominant consumer pathways of department stores and go direct to the designer maker, to get to know them and their work in order to tailor their purchase of goods to their individual needs. Complementing this is the slow food movement, which spread into all forms of consumerism, such that the locally made and locally distinctive products designed and made by someone you can get to know are valued above the generic and anonymous. The stories on the back label of wine bottles are classic examples of tailored, personalised appeal. And museums are full of stories. Stories we tell, stories others tell us about our collections. Such a powerful way to engage our public. Theme 7, go beyond the walls. Collaboration, connectedness and partnership. It's the sharing, not the keeping. We've all of us been involved in outreach activities that involve us with communities across the state, across the nation, who have collections that don't have the same resources that we have in the large museums. The more we can work in a collaborative way to uncover the stories in our own collections, as well as help realise the value of collections in those communities, the richer our shared heritage. So finally, what are the qualities for a curator in this next phase of museum development? Being out there, being nimble, being informed, connected, networked, thinkers, exercising judgment, discernment, discipline, detailed observers, scholarship, storytellers, investigators, being part of a team, internal and external, listening, being alert, thinking big, thinking laterally, working together but standing apart, being consultative, above all, advocacy, facilitating, brokering, engaging with the public, close and virtual, but giving priority to community, reflecting the world, but lead thinking about the world. It's a big and exciting job, so I'll close with a quote that has the necessary gravitas. And it was one that was given to me by Ken Burns, who is a documentary filmmaker, Civil War, baseball, big bridges, etc., etc., recently that fantastic National Park series. And he was describing how he'd been was being shown through the archives of the New York Public Library by the then head of the library, Vartan Gregorian. And can you imagine, you know, rows and rows of books and papers, whatever. And Vartan Gregorian turned to Ken Burns and said, "This is the DNA of our civilization." Thank you.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.